Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Malcolm Adekambi.
This is a word. What shoes you got on?
Oh, yes. Come about those right now.
Malcolm Adekambi is a geek. And I love myself. The world is a ghetto. Malcolm's friends, Diggy and Jib, are also geeks.
All I want to do is a zoom, zoom, and a boom, boom.
Word.
You want to say something or just stare at me?
Malcolm, Jib, and Diggy don't play sports, and they aren't in a gang. They're always getting ridiculed because they're into white stuff, like getting good grades and applying to college.
Dope, right?
We're in our senior year.
It is time we started expanding our horizons.
We're not going to a drug dealer's birthday party.
Well, I'll go if you go. Okay!
So you gonna ask me to dance or what?
Is that real? How'd you get this?
The party. Don't put that in my bag.
Such is the life of a geek.
Don't make fly. Do you have what I left in the backpack?
Did he actually say I'll kill you and your friends if you don't get rid of these drugs, or just you? Don't act like you weren't curious, too.
We don't know nothing about drugs. You do.
We need to know if you're gonna help us.
I don't wanna go to jail. I wanna go to college.
Got a bag for this address?
My dad's at his office for it. I can hang out here until he gets back.
You know, yeah.
He probably got like one of them photogenic brains.
You mean photographic memory?
What'd I just say?
I mean, yeah, you said it. Yeah, just reiterating.
No, let's go, come on!
Who do you think you are?
Are you real? Are you a fake? Who am I? Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
Can you dig it?
Blah, blah, blah. Punch me in the face. Okay, here's your money.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I'm your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. On Apple TV Plus, they put a show on that I've been waiting to watch for a long time and been delayed. Because I'm a Band of Brothers guy. It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Well, yeah, you are.
Masters of the Air.
I've never watched any of them, but I
it's
know
like,
they're good.
It's like Band of Brothers in a B-17 bomber. So if you're like, it's like aviation and stuff like that. It's cool. It's made by Tom Hanks and whoever he works with makes all those really expensive, like $300 million shows for HBO. Mm-hmm. And I think they got another $300 million from Apple to do this one. And so far, it's really... really good. Most people will find it boring because it's history, but
well,
I really like it. It's good.
I like history, but needs to be much, much, much older history for me. Big ancient history guy. Dark ages is my shit. Medieval times is fun. I could fuck with the Renaissance. Once you get to like the industrial era, I'm like, nah, I'm out. That's not for me anymore. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief drug czar and preview correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. I was just the drug czar this week. My husband was watching Masters of the Air, and he's like, "Do you want to watch it with me?" And I was like, "Absolutely not." Watch that by yourself, sir. Yeah.
If it was Masters of the Chariot, I'd watch that.
Yeah, he was like, I was like, "There's a show that's coming on Apple TV Plus, and I'm reluctant to tell you about it." And he's like, "Why?" And I was like, "Cause there's war." And he's like, "I'm
there's
in."
War.
I was like, "I didn't even tell you what's going on." He's like, "That's fine."
It's made for it's this show's for 60-year-old men. I swear. I mean, it's
these real men. Dave and my husband. Perfect.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I mean,
I like it.
I will say I'm making quite a personal sacrifice to be here right now because Vanderpump Rules is coming back tonight, and I'm here with you instead.
Your sacrifice.
My sacrifice. No, I've been waiting for this for months. It's coming back now, but I am here instead to talk about
it's not
what?
Like it's live. Like you'll be
I mean,
fine.
Social media is live though, Dan.
Yeah, no, that's
I'm missing the zeitgeist of it all.
It's okay. You can go reactions. Back.
I will go back. I will go back. Dana, this week, what are we talking about? Where can we get it? And what is it about?
We are talking about Dope from 2015.
Dope.
I believe it might be available to stream if you subscribe to Cinemax.
I saw it possible? Cinemax via Roku as
nope.
well. So I'm like,
no.
What the fuck is that?
It's just like Paramount Plus,
via Apple TV Plus. Like,
psych.
It's just not there.
Okay. So then, no. Alternatively, it's rentable everywhere. So Apple, Amazon, Google, Vudu. I don't know what the fuck these things are. I use Apple TV Plus. So you can get it there.
Mm-hmm.
The synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes is high school senior Malcolm and his friends, Jib and Diggy, bond over 90s hip hop culture, their studies, and playing music in their own punk band. A chance encounter with a drug dealer named Dom lands Malcolm and company at the dealer's nightclub birthday party. When the scene turns violent, they flee with the ecstasy that Dom secretly hid in Malcolm's backpack. A wild adventure ensues as the youths try to evade armed thugs who want the stash.
That's pretty well. They miss a whole storyline with Malcolm, but that's
the main
basis. Yeah,
that's the gist. They gotta hook you.
They do.
I gotta see what wild adventure ensues.
Mm-hmm. Sell the sizzle, not the steak. Dave, if you could tell us who's in this movie.
Shameik Moore as Malcolm Adekanbi. He's a Miles Morales, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. I was like, what else do I know that name. Mm-hmm. He's Miles Morales in the new Spider-Man movies. That's mm-hmm. right.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's what I said.
And he's in The Get Down. I don't know if anybody watched The Get Down.
The Get Down was so good and deserved better than it got. Was the portrayal of Flash on that, I'm like, this fucking guy, like, this is perfect Grandmaster Flash.
They gave Baz Luhrmann like $200 million for one season of TV.
It looked like
seven episodes of TV.
That money was all over the fucking screen. It was perfect. Exactly what I wanted.
Ain't doing that anymore. Tony Revolori. That's a fun name. As James Jib Caldonis. Kiersey Clemons as Cassandra Diggy Andrews. Kimberly Elise as Lisa Hayes. Chanel Iman as Lily Jacoby. Blake Anderson as Will Sherwood. Always a delight to see.
Yeah. Weird to see him with no facial hair, though.
Show. That's weird to that see was
clean shaven.
That was weird. But Zoe Kravitz as Nakia. As soon as possible, Rocky as Dom.
Soon as possible, Rocky.
Yes, that's what I'm not going to abbreviate his name. I'm going to. Lakeith Stanfield as Bug or Marquise. I think they call him, his nickname's Bug. Always good to see Lakeith Stanfield around. Mm-hmm. He just seems very cool.
Always. Always the least chalant person you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. The most. I feel like he's just chilling.
Yeah. The most nonchalant, the least chalant.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yeah. Even during parts when you're like, yeah, he's probably going to get worked up here. He's like, no.
Like, not really. Just, one speed.
Former NBA star Rick Fox as Councilman Blackman.
It's a movie in LA. Of course, Rick Fox is in it.
Two seconds.
Yeah. Amin Joseph as the voice, Tyga as DeAndre. If you like Spike Lee movies, Roger Guenver Smith is in all of them. And he usually has a really good role in them. As Austin Jacoby, DeAndre Bonds as the school security guard, Stacy. Forrest Whitaker's a narrator. I think there are some rappers who I don't know. Cap there, G,
yeah,
Vince Staples, Casey Veggie.
Vince Staples is your boy, Bobby Lesh's homeboy.
Oh, I like him.
Staples. I like Vince Staples too, but I think Bobby Lesh likes him more than I do.
Quincy Brown is Jaleel Jacoby, who just that was quite the character.
That was quite a character.
Yeah, I never knew what Tyga looked like. I feel like he's very in the mix with the. Is he in the Kardashian extended
universe? Oh, he was. Yes, the Kardashian curse ruined him, like it does everyone else. His first album is fantastic. After that, it's like, oh, you got with the Kardashian and made bad music, then flamed out, huh? They ruined black men there. I said it. Let's go around the horn. Rocky. As soon as possible, Rocky.
What is the $$AP? What is that?
I don't fucking. It's just ASAP. I don't know.
As soon as possible, Rocky.
ASAP Ferg, and there's a bunch of them.
Well, no, it's A.
It's $$AP.
No. AP.
Yeah, as soon as a dollar sign app, if you will.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, let's go around.
$$Huh.
Joey Badad, $$. There's a bunch of these guys running around. Let's go around the horn and give some memories of the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
First of all, it's always strive and prosper.
Then why the dollar sign, man? Just regular S is fine.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I don't know. That's what Wikipedia told me.
It's less cool than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. First time I saw this, probably like 2016, 2017. Okay. We definitely I think we got it when Netflix was still doing DVDs potentially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We watched it. We enjoyed it. So yeah, I saw it fairly close to when it came out, but definitely at home in the comfort of my own home. Yeah.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
Finished it about a half hour ago.
Okay.
Don't know how it got past me. This seems like something I would like to watch. I think it was kind of indie.
Yeah.
Not like a wide release or anything like that. I still feel like I would have seen this, but it got past me. So, yeah, finished it about a half hour ago.
Yeah, I had also never seen it before today. But I remember being really intrigued by it when it first came out because, as Dave knows, I am a boom bap aficionado. Like, this is my era of hip hop to a T. And so when it came out, I'm like, oh, I should fucking watch that, and just never did. So I'm happy we got to watch it tonight.
I saw these haircuts. I'm like, this is crooks.
I thought it was a period piece.
This is 90 whatever. Yeah. Yep. And we're going to be in South Central. I'm like, oh no, they have iPhones. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I'm like, so this is just Boys in the Hood, but like from a different perspective. Nope. They just dress weird. Dana, did it make the grade or should they have held this back?
I definitely still enjoyed it. I think I just may have enjoyed it more the first time. Because when we watch these movies, we're watching with a slightly more critical eye. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what the fuck's going on? Why?
A lot of the hand waving, huh?
Yeah. Which is fine. It is supposed to be a somewhat lighthearted film. So I'm still going to give it like a B minus. I remember being like a lot funnier the first time. Maybe I just knew a lot of the jokes were coming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it makes a grade. B minus.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
That was good. Like I said, when they were talking about Bitcoin, I'm like, it's weird to be talking about that in 1990. I don't think it was invented yet. But I'm like, you're a dumb person.
You're wearing cross colors and talking about Bitcoin. That's weird.
I was very dumb. Music, great, obviously. Cheat code stuff. That's awesome. And a very interesting story. Kind of all over the place. And there's some stuff here that's talked about that I'm just like, yep, you got it. And it was good acting. It was all very, very interesting. And hour 40, wasn't bored. So that goes a long way with me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I'm going to say it made the grade, but this is not what I thought the movie would be like. I really thought this was going to be Black Superbad. Like, I thought a wacky, high-joke-dense comedy.
Blooper-blad. Yeah,
that's right, blooper-blad. Yeah. I just kind of figured, okay, they get in some kind of a jam, and as they try to get out of that jam, things just keep ratcheting up Good Boys style. That's not what this was. This is a lot more tense and dramatic than I expected, but, like, I liked it. I enjoyed it. The performances are really good. And, like Dave said, this is a cheat code soundtrack of my favorite era of music, so I was on board with a lot of it. But, yeah, this was not what I expected. I thought a whole other movie was what this was. Do we have any fun facts before we get into the recap and the segments?
There wasn't a lot I found on IMDb, though. I think there was... A$AP Rocky was dating Chanel Amon at the time, and that's how he got his role.
Huh.
Apparently the weed was real.
That makes sense.
According to one guy, I'm like, okay, that's...
I believe it.
That's one way to go about it.
I mean, why fake it? It's legal there.
Yeah.
Zoe Kravitz has a song on the soundtrack for her band.
It's the one at the end, and it's not a good song.
Oh.
Okay. Lola wow. Wolf.
Wow.
There's another thing I'll comment on, but it's like the first thing I talk about. But I couldn't really find anything all that exciting.
Okay. All right. Well,
to be honest.
In that case, let's go ahead and get into the recap and the segments. Dana, where do you want to get us started?
Well, as you guys have said, my first segment was called Drop the Beat.
We're not doing mic check anymore.
Whatever. Yeah.
We're not even calling it mic check now.
No. I just make stuff up. The music is like it's very good. So a lot of it, a lot of the financing came from like Pharrell Williams, who I'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. Another famous music producer, He Who Should Not Be Named Anymore, was
canceled.
Yes, a big part of this. So the music is good, I think, because like they know what they're talking about. So like, yeah, like I think that was one of the first things as well. When you like, I think, see the trailers for this, see the way they're dressing, you do assume it's happening in like the early 90s. But sure, no, they're like just they're just really into, which, hey, I can't blame them. Rap music nowadays isn't the best. No,
and it was better in 15 than it is now. So
like, yeah,
a lot of downhill for a while.
A lot of the rappers who are in this film are still rapping today, and I don't know who they are, which, you know, I think that's important to call out.
They were better back then.
Yeah, so there's a lot of very good, like, Nas, and I feel like there's, like,
They had Rakim Tribe Called in here.
Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was Public Enemy made an appearance. I mean, the soundtrack, it is excellent. And the weird part to me, you know, as we said, Voldemort was a producer on this thing. No Biggie tracks. Weird. Yeah. Weird how you don't have, what, Juicy? Like, how do we not have any Biggie on here? Yeah. But yeah, the music, it's kind of incongruous. It's weird to see this much 90s hip hop where there are, you know, smartphones and all of those things. But like it didn't bother me, but it was like a little, it's a weird stylistic choice a little bit.
No, it confused me. I was watching this, like, this, what my eyes are seeing, what my ears are hearing doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Didn't hate that, but
no. Yeah, if they were time travelers, this is a Bill and Ted situation.
That would have been great. That would have been good.
Well, if the alternative was having like hip hop music from like 2015 in this film, that's okay. I'll stick with this.
There was some good stuff in 15, because at that point you could on Kendrick Lamar. You have to do Good Kid, Mad City, because you can't. The rest of his music is fucking unlistenable. Yeah. You know, Joyner Lucas was out in 2015. You could have put. I mean, ASAP Rocky had an album that came out.
Yeah.
The first one was 2012. I think 2014 was the follow up. There's some great tracks on there. Danny Brown. There was good rap.
There's like one good Danny Brown song.
There's a couple. Last Dope song is great. Triple X is okay.
It's the one about him growing up. Is the one we always
thought it was the greatest
to.
Growing up. That's a good one. But no, Dope Song is excellent. He's much better as like a featuring artist, because like his voice can grate on you quick. Like it's a lot. But yeah, they could have done 2015 stuff, it would have been fine. I would not make it in 2024 and put in 2024 hip hop. A lot of SoundCloud nonsense, and they all sound the same to me. DaBaby, Lil Baby. Baby by DaBaby featuring Lil Baby was a song that came out.
There are too many babies.
It's too many babies.
Right. You're right. But, and I was waiting during the party scene. I'm like, I'm gonna think super. But it didn't happen, because
what is Miles Teller doing here?
I don't know. I was waiting for something like that to happen. It just felt like that this was the era. It's like towards the end of that era, and that song would fit, but
that not, song. Not quite. That song from the party is it's by a group called Watch the Duck.
That was a good song.
That album is excellent. Like,
which
it
party?
I don't,
there's multiple parties.
The big party where like all the shit goes down. Dom's party.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's Popping Off by Watch the Duck. But that album is just amazing. And then I don't know if they ever had a follow up or not, but that's one amazing album that you guys should listen to if you're not familiar with it.
Interesting. All right. So that's that music. And then they mention it where Malcolm, Jib, and Diggy are all in a band themselves. It's called Oreo, but it's spelled AWREEOH.
It looks like Oreo, like Oreo Speedwagon. Yeah. It doesn't look like Oreo at all.
No.
Yep.
And they have some good songs. And I think Pharrell wrote most of the original songs that were in there. And I think that makes sense because they do have, like, I think very strong, like, NERD vibes.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, why is this so... I was like, these songs are actually, like, pretty good.
Great. Like, and you guys are not too just good, like, to be this band.
Yeah, like, and it's not just... Like, when they start playing, you think, oh, okay, this is the one song they have. And anytime they play, we're going to hear the song over and over again. But no, I think there's at least, like, three or four original Oreo songs in this, which is... I thought was pretty impressive for kind of, like, a throwaway thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for someone to put on a too big hat. It was so much like NERD.
Put on a too big hat.
His hats. Either his hats, he has too big.
I don't think he's wearing big hats at this time, was he?
No.
Isn't that, like, more of a happy thing when he starts doing the song? Because I'm happy.
I think it's right around this time, though. Like, happy was room, too big, like, 2013, 2014.
Oh, it's really?
Right around this time.
After.
Change, go and go. Girl, I promise you, no substitute.
That's just me.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Uh-oh.
What a time.
He's great.
He is great.
Like I said, hat
too big. Oh, you're right. It's 2013.
Yeah. Okay. Hat too big.
Hey.
Yeah, too big.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that was happening around this time, but we didn't incorporate it. So, yeah. So, I want to talk about the music, which is very good. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing, in the movie, they call themselves geeks. Interesting that they chose that word over other words for nerds or dorks.
Never called somebody a geek in real life. I've never heard somebody call the geek in real life.
Some you're not supposed to use anymore because they're
It's got a troubled past.
Does it have an ableism thing to it?
Probably, but
geek would be somebody with developmental disabilities in a sideshow that bit the head off of live animals. That's what a geek is.
Dork? I feel like I've called people
a dork is a whale's penis.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't.
That's what that is. But yeah, geek has a troubled past.
Okay.
Frank DeSoto's idiot, imbecile. They all have fucked up medical pasts.
Yeah, but I meant, like, they're trying to use it more in the uncool, not in that way. So,
nerd is what I would have gone with.
Yeah. But they call themselves geeks. And they also, like, in Forest Whitaker's narration, talk about how, like, their problems are different than, like, normal geeks' problems because they live in the bottoms. Like, it's not being the butt of a practical joke or getting a swirly or shoved in a locker or having, like, a practical joke. Like, geeks can, and I put this in the notes in quotes, die just trying to get some food because why Tony is a geek who gets shot.
That was.
Pretty sure he died. I'm pretty sure he died. They didn't say. But the dead giveaway to me, oh, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, they said that the real tragedy was that he was, like, about to beat Ganon. So, like, if he survived, he could beat Ganon later.
Yeah. It was just so flip, which I guess is, like, maybe that's part. I don't know. I was like, did fucking why Tony die? And then, like, he wanted his, like, comic books. And I was like, oh, so why Tony's dead?
He's dead. I think if he was alive, we would have seen him at some point. He would have popped
up
again.
We do get, like, flashbacks of, like, why Tony pops up later.
He'd have been at that crazy Molly party they had. He would have shown up there to support his friends.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, like, their lives are just very different. And then they also, like, talk about how, like, the routes home are difficult. Like, you never know. You could run into, like, bloods or drug dealers over here or, like, people who want to steal your bike. And I thought this was... interesting. I was like, maybe this is what they should do to try to get into college, but developing a ghetto ways for hood traps. Like,
the problem there is the police just take it over and then you're a snitch. Yeah, so you can't do that.
When they're talking about, our route home was taken over by some bloods, you know, making a video for their YouTube channel. I'm like, this is a joke. It's like, this is very real.
Yeah.
This is, you can go on YouTube and there are different sets.
Oh, yeah.
And you can look at some videos if you want. You should.
I remember, don't do it.
Can.
I remember I was young. I might have been maybe 11, 12 years old. And we were at a Sam Goody in L.A. visiting my family there, my brother and I. And we went, we're looking at the hip hop, of course, as we do, and the cassette tapes. And there was a whole section just called, like, Bloods. There was a section of, like, Bloods branded rap music and then Crips branded rap music and then Bloods and Crips together branded tapes. And I'm like, who was buying these? I'm sure they're awful. Like, I'm sure they are useless tapes. There's a lot of them, though.
But like, who's stocking that? Like, you know, it's just got to be local to that.
Like, it has to be. Like, I didn't see him in Chicago. There wasn't Bloods, Crips, and Bloods and Crips in Chicago.
It was like, y'all don't want to have a problem. We're going to need a section.
That's right.
Here are our tapes. Here are their tapes.
It's a very nice store. Be a shame if something would have happened to it.
Yeah. There's a documentary that I've wanted to watch, but I can't ever find it anywhere, called Bastards at the Party, that talk about like the origins of the Bloods and the Crips and how like they started from like a really like, not really, but like an altruistic, trying to give kids something to do place.
It was a neighborhood support kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Then what happened? Well, crack ruins everything.
I've always wanted to watch it and I can never find it. I always like, I check like a couple times a year. I'm like, Bastards of the Party, is it available anywhere?
No. Just like how I check every week for PCU. It never happens, but we're hoping for someday.
There was one that I watched about the origins of like the Chicago street gangs. So like the GDs and like the P-Stones and all that. It was excellent.
We watched that together.
Did we watch that together? It was fucking great.
We definitely did. Because I was like, wait, I know. Was this the Gangster Disciples and the Black P-Stones?
The Black P-Stones.
Like, I don't know anything about
Latin this, Kings. Like, uh-oh.
I just know about Big Meech, Larry Hoover.
Big Meech, Larry Hoover.
I was like, why do I know that name? It's like, well, that was Rick Ross decided to be like, let's just put that in a song. And now he's in jail in downstate Illinois.
Big Meech. Larry Hoover.
Still running the gang. That's sorry.
No, it's that I remember watching that and being like, oh, I know that viaduct. I know that intersection. Yep. That's not far from where we live at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, back to this. And then they also say like the reasons why they're considered uncool is that they're into quote unquote white shit. Like skateboards, manga comics, Donald Glover catching strays.
Yeah.
Trash talk. I'm pretty sure TV on the Radio's lead singer is a black person.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
certainly is.
What the fuck did they do? They're just a rock band.
Yeah.
Who I enjoy.
Really rock band with like hip hop styling in it often.
Yes. Okay. So certain groups just, I'm like,
it's not Bon Iver. Like, come on.
And then the last one, which I always find so annoying. Getting good grades and applying to college.
Yeah.
Is that white shit? Why can't we all just want to get ahead and better ourselves?
So, I mean, a couple thoughts on all of this. It's funny to watch this now because, like, I mean, I'm not going to say that, like, skateboards are fully integrated in black culture, but there's a lot more black skating now than there was when I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater back in the day. Manga comics, like, anime has fully inculcated into black culture now. It's not at all weird to like hear rappers mention their favorite animes and compare to characters. Athletes do it all the time. Megan Thee Stallion is like a legit anime cosplayer. Like anime is black shit now.
Well, kick, I also feel like
Coast. Yeah. There's all sorts
kick,
of
push coast.
Skateboard pee and make a face fall off. Yeah. These are real things.
A bitch street, I'm not just making a face fall off.
Yeah. That song I still listen offensive. That song. Like, this
I love it. That song is gross.
It is.
So I agree. I think like first thing on like the anime stuff, I was just like the Wu-Tang Clan. It was like so obsessed with Asian culture. So it's not like far-fetched, but I'm also like, as you guys were talking about it, I'm wondering if these are like things that like Pharrell used to get made fun of. And like, he's a big producer on this and he was
skate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pharrell, Lupe Fiasco. Yeah. Those are the two skateboarding rappers that I know of off the top of my head.
Yeah. But I watch a lot of like hip-hop reaction videos. If somebody does like a good funk flex freestyle, I'll watch reaction videos. I don't think I can think of one channel where there's not anime posters all over the fucking walls in the background. Like, all of these dudes love anime. A couple years after this, Donald Glover had America in a chokehold, but This Is America, and then Silk Sonic happened. So like, he caught a stray, unfortunately. And the getting good grades and applying to college is tough, because like, I think being in high school and really caring about your grades is a nerdy thing, but like, it's not a white nerdy thing. Like, it's Urkel was not a white dude. He was just a black nerd. He was a blurred. So like, that does bother me as well. Like, it's
there's folks at every school. There's a couple who are going to try their best and get A's.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
But I think like, it's not something like that was foreign to me. Like, I feel like I heard it. Like,
oh yeah, all the fucking time.
Yeah, like my dad don't, and he was like, yeah, I want to fucking. So it's just like an interest. I'm like, can we move past this? I'm, you know, like to see it that, like in 2015, obviously this movie's now 10 years old. I was just like, oh, we gotta change up the culture, folks.
It's
Like
tough.
we
It's
should
tough to see.
all want to get ahead. And it always bothers me.
Yeah,
Yeah.
same page.
I just want to call that out. And then I just want to talk about this because I found this is a little annoying, is Malcolm's like meeting with his guidance counselor and has to write like a personal essay because he really wants to get into Harvard. And he wrote, which I really want to read this paper. I think someone has legitimately done this as well, is
Yep.
like a scientific investigation into Ice Cube. Yeah, Ice Cube's Good Day. And
Yeah,
I was
so
like, hilarious.
I have they have discovered what it was, and there's enough clues in there that like yeah, it narrows it down pretty quick when he talks about like things that would have happened at the same time. But like, yeah, I also would like to read that. I mean, I don't know if that's Harvard, you know, get you in territory, but like that's pretty fucking neat.
Yeah, I thought it was like clever
Yeah.
and funny, but the guidance counselor is just like, this isn't gonna cut it. Like, he basically, and Malcolm says it, like, you want me to like be stereotypical and be like, yes, I live in the bottoms and I don't know who my
Be
dad
hard scrabble.
is. Yeah, and I'm raised by a single mother, and he doesn't want to do it. And the counselor's like,
That's a very common thing for counselors to no, you need to talk about your struggles the entire time and make sure you put that right up front, whatever you're applying for. It was a very common thing.
Be Scranton Joe with corn pop. Like, talk
Yeah,
about that shit.
you should. Yeah, talk about corn pop if you
About corn
can.
pop.
If your memory's working, you should talk about corn
Talk
pop.
about corn pop.
Oh boy.
But yeah, but then it's like the guidance counselor is like, be realistic. You're not going to get into Harvard on your grades or your SAT schools alone, like scores alone, because like you're from the bottoms.
That part
Yeah,
is
straight A's with a perfect SAT
no.
score. You might get in, man. You might
No,
make it.
you might
Well,
get
it is
into
weighted.
all
They
the
do
Ivies, yeah.
weight.
Yeah.
All the Ivies.
They do compare and weight like different like school districts, and like
Yeah.
I'm he's not like wrong a little bit, but like the thing that bugged me about it, and again, well, not again, but this doesn't happen. It happened to my brothers. So my brothers and I had the same exact guidance counselor when we were in high school, and they were like, we're gonna apply to Princeton. And our guidance counselor was like, be realistic. You need to pick somewhere else. You're not gonna get
Don't.
it. And they were
So
like,
fucked up.
fuck you, lady. We're gonna do it. And they
Yeah,
got in.
apply.
And
Yeah.
they went, and I'm just so like, when you see this, it's so like it's annoying. And I don't know if he was trying to, I think he was also trying to tell him like you have to ace the interview and rethink your personal essay. But that's just, it's like you're here to like, I know you want kids to have proper expectations, but there's no like harm in letting them reach. Like,
Right.
sure, go figure it out.
Given a
Like,
shot, you could do it. Like, it's not gonna be like, well, you said I could do it, and I didn't. Now, fuck you. It's like, no, man. Like, you have to
it's
try to
like.
encourage them.
You
No,
can
it's
have
one.
safeties or levels,
Yeah.
but to be like,
Sure.
you gotta like, I
How
think like
dare you, fair Harvard, sir.
oh dear. Oh dear. It's
I
just
think our guidance counselor was just like, it's a waste of money to even do that. And like, I remember when I was in school, she kept trying to get me to go to the same university as her daughter, who's also like a field hockey player. And she's like, you should just go to the University of Scranton. And that, no offense to Uncle Joe,
Didn't know there
and
was a U
but then
Scranton out there.
yes, there is. One of my friend's younger brothers also went there and played basketball. It is a fine school, but I'm just
Okay.
like, no, bitch. Like, you tried to do this to my brothers. I'm gonna go somewhere else. I didn't go to like the best school in the country, but I went to one that ranks in the top. So I was just like, it just sometimes feels rude and offensive to people of color to be like,
Sure. Yeah. You
try
saw the bigotry
again.
of low expectations, man. I mean, when I went
Yes.
into mine, it was basically like, so you want to go to the Big Ten, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, which one? That was basically it. There wasn't
Big
like a,
Ten. Yeah.
I'm like, he's like, not Northwestern, but where else? So I'm like, yeah, not Northwestern. Yeah, it was, I mean,
Could have
we had a,
tried. At
yeah,
least throw your hat in the
no.
ring.
Yeah,
No.
well,
Okay.
I just
didn't want to go there, though. I
spent a
might have been
lot of
able to
time.
get in.
Spent a lot of time in Evanston. Nice place to visit. Wouldn't want to live there.
Well,
Not kind of a thing.
That was our
It's
football camp. If you guys go back and listen to, I don't know, Friday Night Lights or whatever, where the dude
Oh yeah.
in the shower and stuff, like that was our
Ugh.
football camp. And
Ugh.
like I remember just being there like, no, this stadium is the size of like a 7-Eleven. Like, no, I want to go to a Big Ten school. There's no one, I mean, it's like 4,000 people there. It's fucking tiny.
But I didn't go to your giant university of a high
Walmart
school.
Walmart U, 40,000 people just walking
Walmart
around.
Walmart U. That's good.
Just, I was like, my little tiny high school with like 2,000 people in it. We've all known each other since like kindergarten. No, that was not my experience.
So, 4,075 graduating.
Seems like
class.
So many.
Do you think it's managing expectations, but it's also like, I don't want
your
trying
life
to protect people who, you know, now, I mean, I understand why you're not pushing, because everyone has a voice. So like, well, if I push this person and then they don't get in, I'm going to hear about it forever on YouTube or whatever social media, so on and so forth. So they're just like, well, if I manage to like browbeat them down to like a place where I think they're going to get into at least one of the schools, then I don't have to worry about them being too disappointed when they don't.
I guess.
Or if
but
they
then
reach
when they,
too much.
But then when they make the Supreme Court, you get shit talked because you didn't believe in them.
That's the other side. But
then all of a sudden, you're all the people that Michael Jordan invited to his Hall of Fame induction speech.
You
just talked
to
about everyone in the room.
Is this person going to be in the Supreme Court?
So petty.
The pettiest.
Petty
LaBelle, yeah.
And I took offense to that. He told me good game. Good
the
game?
I was sitting here inventing reasons to get mad. You said, what about
next
my mom?
Season, I dropped 40 points on his head. Just like, what
oh,
the fuck?
God, he is an asshole, but he was our asshole, so I'm fine with
he
it.
Was.
What a
he
dick.
Yeah.
Oh, good game? I took offense.
I took that personally.
Okay, so then personal essay, and then his alumni interview has to be really good. So this guy named Austin Jacoby, who owns Jacoby Check Cashing, which he was a little surprised because he recognized the name. He's like, oh, I didn't know he was from the Bottoms and owns this company. Just didn't expect that, I guess, from a hob.
I wish it wasn't check cashing, but yeah.
Right? I'm like, oh,
predatory okay. business.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, could it's have like, been
yeah.
a federal credit union? We couldn't have done
right?
that.
Okay, it was
yeah.
a bank. It's a regular old bank.
I was like, you know, it's a check cashing conglomerate and a bunch of sharks right. fishing. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, no.
Might as well own gun stores and liquor stores, man. Shit.
Right? It's very, they clone Tyrone. Just
I've not seen it, but I need to. I
okay.
know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's fun. It's weird. Mm. I didn't know. That's another movie. I'm like, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm enjoying this. I feel like I'm getting dumber in my old age, which is fine.
It's okay.
Yeah. So then we have to get into, I don't know, this is a stupid title of a section, but I was like, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Correct, though. It's true. If you got it on you.
You got it on
it's
you.
It's yours.
That's it. It's yours.
So Malcolm winds. Okay. So they... When they're trying to go home, they have a run-in with Dom, the drug dealer, and they get invited to go to his birthday party. Zoe Kravitz is also going to be there, who Dom has a crush on. It's like, hey, you should come. So they go to this party. Very clearly, they are dumb. Obviously, a plot contrivance, but they're dumb teenagers, and they bring their backpacks to the party at the club.
Because you got to have someplace to put your stuff. Yeah, smart.
No. Just leave it at home.
What club would let you in with a backpack?
Well, they had to sneak in, remember?
But,
they had to sneak in around the side.
Still, let the security guard see you with a backpack in the club. Like, no, get the fuck out. What are you doing with this? Like, no. A purse is totally fine somehow. It's basically the same thing, but a backpack. No. It's just suspect. Get the fuck out of here.
No, I've brought a backpack into a place in Austin.
Really? They allow that? That's okay? Because every place that I go to, like a big, like...
Yeah.
No, necessarily even call it a club, like a restaurant with like several levels and a lot of people around. It's not even necessarily a club. We'll have a list of things. Don't bring this shit in here.
Yeah.
Don't wear this. Don't do this. Don't all that. I'm like, okay, a whole list of stuff. Never had to worry about it because I'm not bringing a backpack anywhere. I'm not bringing a backpack into a restaurant ever for any reason.
There's
I did it during South by Southwest at Empire Control Room Garage. Yeah. In Austin.
How many bottles of liquor and hits of Molly do you have in that backpack? Get it
no,
out of here.
I think because it's like South by and they know people are like going from like the conference to the shows to whatever. Yes. I'm thinking they allowed it. I don't know. We went and watched actually we went to a bunch of shit that night, but it was like, oh yeah, now I'm thinking about it. I walked everywhere with a backpack on. Like I got into every place I went to because I came straight from work. And I saw Questlove. I saw Janine Garofalo. I went to like a free show in a basement, like totally with a backpack on. It was fine.
And see, there when I think about a backpack in the club, when we were in college, this club no longer exists, and it's sad to me that it doesn't.
Backpack in the club.
Well, I mean, there's a Childish Gambino song called Backpackers. Fuck these backpackers with a rhino's dick. There was this club in Memphis called the Plush Club. And the Plush Club was like the most dangerous place to be in Memphis, apparently. Like, it was just shootings and stabbings all the fucking time. And they had to shut down for a while to investigate a shooting. And then when they reopened, the owner of the club, this man named Vanderbilt Harris, put a video out. I know.
Number one. Not going to your club, man.
His name in the video. Because his name in the video was Vanderbilt with two B's. And I'm like, no, I think it's a typo, probably. But he talks about the club. And he's like, the first thing you notice when you come into the Plush Club, you start to feel safe. And then he talks about like all the things you can't bring in. He's like, no guns, no knives, no razor blades. Fellas, leave the gun at home. Don't bring any brass knuckles. Ladies, no rat tail combs. And it was just like this whole list of shit you can't bring into the club. And we used to watch it all the time because he's dressed up like a Detroit pimp. Like, he's got the loudest Steve Harvey suit on. And he's like maybe 25, not an old man at all, but he's like,
folks,
first thing about leave the it at club, home, you start to feel safe. And I'm like, oh no, man, there's a chalk outline right behind you. So yeah, watch them have a backpack in the club. I'm like, Vanderbilt Harris would never.
Yeah, so they have, obviously we need it, but they bring backpacks, and it's just so they're like, he only puts Diggies, not Diggies, he only puts Malcolms behind the bar, which I thought was interesting. Diggy and Jib keep theirs on. I don't know, it's whatever. Again, we needed it though, because there's this whole scene that I didn't really think we needed, where Dom goes in the back, is playing cards, is getting bricks of Molly. Yeah. I don't know if we needed any of that. Like, it could have just been like, hey, he wound up with drugs because that's who Dom is.
Dom's a drug dealer. Like, that's all.
I don't know if we needed to flesh out Dom's character anymore. But I, at first I was like, oh, is this a, so basically what happens, they're in the back, they're doing a drug deal or buying their bricks. I thought it was coke for most of the film. Well,
because I've never seen heroin. I thought it was full on heroin. Yes. I thought this was white real. And then they said, no, it's Molly. I'm like, oh, really?
Because I don't think about Molly in like pure powder form. You just see it in the pills.
I don't think about people being like, let's pour this on our hands.
Right.
And like,
no.
Not at all.
I'm sure you can, but I think
2015 though.
Pressed pills.
I guess there's no pressed pills yet. People are still going like, oh yeah.
No, I think they were I think it started as pressed pills, and then they were like, fuck it, we need to stretch.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Trinidad shows James, you what I know about Molly. I'm sweating. Woo!
Shows you what I know about Molly.
That was a couple years before this. Yeah, it was
very little.
It's weird they didn't just make it cocaine. Like, that's very confusing to me why it's not cocaine. Pop to Molly, I'm sweating. Woo! I'm happy his career didn't last. That motherfucker was terrible. Trinidad James. He was an awful rapper. He put out a video where he looks like the world's sweatiest man.
Yeah.
And the part of the chorus is, pop to Molly, I'm sweating. Woo! Woo! Pop to Molly, I'm sweating. Woo! Like, yeah, you look like you're on Molly right now.
Yes.
So there's a drug deal going in the back. Again, bricks of not loose, but powder Molly, which, again, very bizarre.
Loose Molly.
Loose Molly.
How bizarre.
Raw Molly.
Very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
Yeah, it's raw Molly. Just, cage free. At first I thought it was like a rival drug dealer game, like busts in the back. Turns out it's the cops who start shooting people. Like,
of course they do.
The main guy catches like a shotgun round pellet spray straight in his chest. I was like, ooh.
Hit him with a buckshot.
I
don't know if it was buckshot. I think it was just a regular
birdshot.
30-05, just boom, done.
I like, oh shit, people are dying in this movie.
Yeah. Oh yes.
And I'm laughing blown away. Right now, which feels inappropriate.
Calm down. Don't need to be like, oh no.
But in the chaos, they have to obviously like escape the club because we can't get caught by the cops. Dom puts a bunch of the bricks in Malcolm's backpack. Malcolm leaves with the backpack. He also saves Zoe Kravitz. I almost said Zoe Saldana. Zoe Kravitz's character, hey, Nakia.
What if it was?
You know what? Either way.
So great. So great. It's all good. And like helps her escape, and I don't know, shit happens, whatever. So then he winds up with this thing of cocaine, which he didn't know. So he goes into school the next day. The school has metal detectors and dogs. Did you guys have metal detectors at your high school?
Fuck no.
No.
We had an old man with a gator cart. That's all we had.
Hey, we would get them periodically.
You guys are late. You guys are late. You gotta go to the principal's office. You guys are late.
Yeah, that's all we had.
All right. I'm still gonna try to get in the door. Door's locked. You gotta go around front. Okay. Still no, if you have to go around front, there's still no,
it's taking 20 minutes to walk from here to there.
No metal detector, no one checking shit. You can just walk in.
Just walk the fuck in.
Yeah, well, here's your detention. Sorry.
As we discussed, we were locked in our fire hazard. Fire hazard. Complete, we're all dying. But there were many like egress points. It wasn't set up for the where we got to in the 21st century. But we would get them periodically, like not all the time, but like once or twice a year, they would just like bring in metal detectors and have you walk through them and check lockers. And it somehow always happened on days where I was running extremely late and like didn't have a chance to do my homework because I would just stand in line because like all the morning classes are canceled. You got to put like 2,000 kids through metal detectors.
No, it's like Price. So they bring in like Price Waterhouse Cooper like once a quarter to be like, we're gonna scan them today and see what's going on, and then we'll see what we find. Yeah,
fun. Like I think it's like maybe there's some sort of threat or some reason they thought, but yeah, it would happen like once, maybe twice a year. They just wheel them in. Definitely more after like Columbine, so like 99. Sure. So like my last 2 years of high school. But yeah, it would just randomly happen. But this in the Bottoms, it's all the time. They all know the security guard, Stacy. He used to know a lot of the kids' dads. So when he goes to school the next day, he sets off like the drug sniffing dog freaks out, and he sets off the metal detector. And Stacy knows this. Malcolm's a geek. He's a good kid. Assumes everything is broken. It's just like,
this machine is broke.
Everybody hold up a sec. The dog's freaking out. Ain't no way. The Malcolm's got weapons and drugs. That's no. He opens his backpack. He's got, I think it's three bricks of free range Molly. And a handgun and a pistol. And of course he freaks out because like, what does he know to do with it? Right. As they're trying to understand what to do, there's a phone in his backpack that rings. He talks to someone. I wound up just calling them the El Camino crew because they're like, after school, you're going to give me my lunch, the drugs.
The cheese on my sandwich. Like,
it's a very odd conversation. Like, I would like cheese on my sandwich, please.
It's weird when you're talking in code and only one person knows the code.
Right. He's like, wait, not very what? Helpful. Lunch? If you want, you should go get lunch wherever. It's like, lunch? Now? No, Camino.
He knows the dude's address and everything.
Yeah, because of Find My iPhone.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
That part. Oh, man.
Yeah. Wild. There's a lot of good. That winds up playing a big part. They follow them around the city using Find My iPhone. But yeah, he thinks it's like, okay, great. I will just get rid of the drugs. I will give them to the man in the red El Camino after school. As he's getting ready to drop it off, he gets another phone call to the phone. It is Dom saying, I am in jail. Somebody snitched. Don't give the drugs away. Take it to this other place. So then there's like a whole chase with the El Camino crew. The ECC is what I was calling them.
Very slow motion chase too. It's like this car's like, no, let's just go over this fence. And the guy's like, we can't go through this fence. Let's figure out another way to find him.
They are busting through right that little fence. Tricky fence.
Right.
No, because it's that LA River where it's like, there's no river there. So I assume that car is going down to the bottom and they're going to be on their bikes. Nothing like that.
No.
In every other LA movie, someone's driving through the LA River. Yeah. They just go straight into it and keep their wheels on either side of the little trickle that goes. That's
right. Right. Honestly, you know, fuck Dom. Like, I'm giving the drugs to the El Camino crew. I mean, okay, so I'll just go to the cops and tell them you're gonna murder me. Like, I'm afraid of being a snitch. No, I'm not. Like, I will snitch. I don't give a fuck. Who knows? I will leave town if I have to.
Okay. It's a delicate balance because if he calls the cops, Dom, like, I think there are repercussions. I don't know what I would do in this situation. Gives it to the one crew. They might take it and immediately kill him. Dom is already in jail. So, like,
maybe does this Dom care about family? Like, the other Dom?
Family.
As soon as I heard his name was Dom, I kept saying, whenever he spoke, I was like, family. Domo family? Let me just get my charge here. Family.
See, in my thought process,
you had me. You didn't even have your car.
granny shifting, whatever the fuck he said. So for me, the part to me that, okay, yes, Dom made a good point. If you show up at the police station with drugs and a gun, you might wind up in trouble. You could.
Correct.
You guys are good kids with no criminal record. If you do get in trouble, flip state's evidence and be like, no, that's him right there, Your Honor, in the red bandana, red shirt, red pants, red shoes, and red socks. That's the guy right there. Just fuck, he's a drug dealing blood. Like, just, yes, you run a risk, but not as much of a risk as like running around town with drugs and a gun.
I'm sorry, did you watch When They See Us? All those kids were good kids. One of being in jail.
Of course I saw When They See Us.
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one. Yeah, it was Giuliani time. You're right.
Yes. Yeah. Granted, I don't know. LA's probably not that much better. They have like fucking cop gangs inside. It's
very bad.
There's a whole podcast about it. If you want to do it, it's really the LA Sheriff's Department. Oh boy.
It's gonna make you feel real uncomfortable. It's bad. Yes. You make a good point. Leave town. Drop it off at a bus station and leave town.
Yeah. Yep. Hey mom, we gotta go. But he wants to get his future. So he's like, fine, I will take it to this location. You have to take it to AJ's and mention the boys club. They wind up in a very nice part of LA. This AJ gentleman is not home, but his two kids are there. This is where we can talk about, it's very unclear how old anyone is meant to be in this film. We know the main characters.
I hope she's 20. I hope she's 20. I hope she's at least 20.
Yeah.
Well, we find that she is in college. So like that's where we eventually get some touch points on these kids. But we know like Diggy, Jib, and Malcolm are all like seniors in high school. Obviously, the people who go to high school with them, we understand. Dom, unclear. Yep. No, Zoe Kravitz is getting her GED, so potentially post high school.
1920. Or I don't know. I think.
Yeah.
I don't
and
know.
Then AJ's kids, Jaleel and Lily, who for a long time I was just calling the son and the daughter.
The AJ's.
AJ's kids. They're AJ's.
They don't die, they multiply.
Oh God!
Are just like weird kids. The son is a huge poser who I think is like upset that his dad took them out of the bottoms, and he just talks about he can't say anything that begins with a C because he's a blood. But then he does it's say a real C things. Thing.
That part conversation
was pretty funny.
I did chuckle at that part pretty good.
Yeah, because I was like, you're a little bitch. You're just not. You're trying too hard.
You got no problem saying crabs. You call them brabs.
It's his like, name is it hard C's or soft C's? Right? I'm sorry, but then you just said whatever right now. Like,
you just said Malcolm. You didn't call him Malbum. No, that was a good conversation.
That's right.
So there's that. The son who's trying to be hard. Then the daughter who's just walking around naked. This is Chanel Amon, the model. Naked, just wants to fuck, high on drugs is her whole deal.
Yeah, she was. That was a lot. Yeah, that was I mean, the part where she's in the pool. I'm like, your brother is right there and doesn't care if this is happening. Like,
yep,
booty butt.
That's the part I was uncomfortable with.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Was at one point like the son and Jib and Diggy go get food, so it's just Malcolm and Lily left behind. She's like, "Hey, are you a virgin?" They play like a weird game of like, "Mother, may
game.
I?"
It's a weird.
And she's like, let's fuck. Jaleel keeps condoms in the drawer over there. I'm like, what? In the common area? Why do you know this? What is going on?
Out in the
Where's
open.
Your mother? What is...
The housekeeper's home right now.
Y'all are this rich from check cashing? This seems suspicious.
Well,
predatory business.
Let me tell you about the fees.
Isn't that with one of the... Georgia senators, was it like Purdue or the
probably
female one?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was something that Purdue was into.
Yeah,
he was a pretty shitty person.
Or like the lady was the wife of someone who was whatever. politicians.
Oh, what's her name? Who, like, she owned part of the WNBA team or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, and she treated the players like garbage. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I've sidetracked.
We forgot her for a reason.
So. Because it's it really sticks in there. So they take it there. It's very weird. He almost fucks, but they don't, because she winds up doing all the drugs.
And then she throws up into his mouth.
Yes, no, just all over his upper.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's it was gross. That's happened to me before. I'm like, I get it, bro. I get it.
Jesus, ugh. Dave.
Never.
No, party? Never.
Never. Okay.
Into someone else's mouth? No.
Yeah, that's. It was very. It was
maybe birding them.
It was both a great night and a terrible night when it ended that way. But nice. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh.
I would not handle it well.
Something sitting in the back of my brain was like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
I would not be okay.
Horrendous.
And he, like, as that's happening, his phone is ringing. It's a reminder that he has to do his, like, alumni interview. He's a man. Hop in the shower for 2 seconds. Get a I need to see
get a
him
washcloth
clean.
At least.
Yeah, yeah, clean off the vomit, brush your teeth, maybe hit it with mouthwash.
Yeah,
because I went on a cruise with a buddy of mine, and he got vomited on and so forth. And let me tell you, we have a formal dinner tonight. Take a shower. We'll all meet up. Did he? Did not shower.
Ooh. Yeah, fuck Ken, right?
Don't do that.
No, censor that, please. I'll put the middle name in too if I have to.
I'm going to recite his social security number and his home address.
Don't do it.
Fuck him. I have nothing. My nemesis. Nothing positive to say about that man.
Okay. We're going to
catch all the strays.
So they have to go. She's just like full snorting Molly. Again, something. This is where you like. This is why you think it's coke, because they don't really call it out at any, like, not until later, really. I think the next couple of scenes after this. So you assume she's just like ripping lines of coke, which I was like, that's kind of terrifying. She's
dipping a pacifier in it.
Yeah. Like, which Jesus. Maybe that should have tipped us off that it was ecstasy or Molly.
I suppose the pacifier is kind of a thing for that.
Yeah. So he needs to like call ass to get to his interview. She's like, I'll drive you. I was like, there's no way I'm letting this person drive me in a car. You can come in the car.
She's basically asleep in the car driving.
Hey, you got someplace to be? I'll drive you. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Why would you? Why?
She was about to have some fucking French toast.
Hey, girl, get in the pad. You can come.
Have some fucking French
toast. I will drive. You can ride shotgun.
Yeah, I thought it was like maybe Malcolm doesn't know how to drive. And maybe that's why. But then, so she has this. This is important for later. So she at one point just passes out, like we think she's dead, wakes up, freaks out. I have to pee, goes running through an intersection off to a $7.
That's awesome.
Which that's the Rock's production company.
I'll be damned.
Instead of a Starbucks. But then she goes like peeing and he's like, I can't wait for her. I'm hopping in the driver's seat and I'm going, which I was like, why didn't you drive in the first place? But we needed her. She could have done the freak out from the passenger seat. Like we didn't need to be driving the car.
I'm going to need some pound cake. I'm gonna eat some pound.
Cake of it all. interview was fantastic.
I saw it. I'm like, I understand what this is. This is a, we'll just do a stereotypical.
Yeah, this is a Sweet Brown. Interview. Anybody got time for that? It was everybody seen Leprechaun say, yeah, it was one
hide
of those.
Your kids, hide your
hide
wife.
Your kids, hide your wife. I was backing up, backing up, backing up, backing up. It was one of those.
That was very. Oh no, we do not eat biscotti or anything. I was having pound cake. Yeah. What are you talking about? I don't know what it even means.
No, that's my dad always needs like a sweet. It can be a cookie or a piece of cake. Very happy. He always needs a piece of cake.
Hey, I love pound cake. It's just why was that the choice? That didn't.
That's what black people want, a piece of cake, man. Fancy.
I was having a pound cake.
That's pound cake.
So she freaks out on the drugs, which is a key plot point later. Yes. But as he eventually like drives, he gets to his appointment. He's sitting in his alumni interview is Austin Jacoby. He was just at AJ's house.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, he's sitting in the office and he notices that there's like pictures of Dom from the boys club and there's pictures of the kids, and this is where he finally puts together that Austin Jacoby The Harvard alum, check cashing magnet, is also involved with drug dealing.
Dun dun dun!
Bum, bum, ba, da.
Holy
shit! Cash business.
Cash business.
Oh my gosh! Well, he takes checks, but he has to pay in cash. He has to have cash around. So,
launder that money.
Stuff happening in cash businesses does not surprise me in the least.
Mm-hmm. Wash it. Make sure it's clean and good.
Launder those funds.
So he basically like called out that like, I have a package for you. I don't know this. Okay. So I guess this actor's in Spike Lee films and I've just never really noticed him before. Yeah. Yeah. Does he always talk like this? Cause it's like,
talking quiet. I figured maybe he had some kind of
larynx
thing. Okay.
Larynx thing. Hey, what's going on? Cause I this is crank before my volume ASMR up. Being a thing. So I'm like,
yeah,
but it's not even like a whisper. He's trying to be like a menacing. I don't whisper. What I'm going to tell you is, I don't know what you are talking about.
Is he a cowboy now?
It's very, very weird.
Wow, I have to raise my voice for anybody.
Quiet Southern. Yeah.
I'm the captain now. It was a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
It is. Then there's like a whole weird discussion about Amazon. And it's basically what it comes down to is, I don't want the package. I don't deal in the package. I don't deal in the drugs. I deal in the money.
Yeah.
And I am owed money. And it would be in your best interest to get me said money.
Mm-hmm. That's where it is.
Yep. That's the threat.
Not like a threat, like, oh, you know, if you don't do this. It was just kind of like, yeah, if you don't give me the money.
Yeah, because later on, Jib is like, did he explicitly say he's going to kill you and your friends or just you? it was very much like, if you don't do this, Yamo kill you is very much what he was getting.
Yamo kill you.
Because it was very much like your friends and your family. I have ways, I have connections, and this will be a problem. So I was like, okay, so you're going to meet this kid. Why couldn't, the only thing, I guess, because if I reason it out, he couldn't have taken it to like the rest of Dom's crew, because obviously someone in the crew snitched to begin with. So but if I'm Austin Jacoby, I don't know. I think I have more than one dealer and I'm going to go like, hey, you're getting extra because Dom's in jail. I'm not going to trust some fucking snot-nosed kid who is straight-laced and trying to go to Harvard to sell my fucking drugs. I'd be like,
there's no
leave
way
him
you're
over here.
Yeah.
Go connect with this person. Thank you.
You're not moving that kind of weight with one dealer. you don't want to over leverage yourself. Diversify your portfolio a little bit here. You know, spread it out some.
Has no one watched The Wire? We weren't on one corner. We're on corners.
Yeah. East, west. And obviously there's a separation, but corners all over the place.
Spread out.
I'm not relying on one guy. And maybe Dom has a crew, but there's a comment earlier about like he's almost ready to come up to the big leagues. Again, I'm tapping some other guys and be like, hey, I'm going to need you to fucking sling more this week, a couple weeks.
I'm not giving it all to as soon as possible, Rocky. No.
Big league with 3 kilos of Molly?
Three.
That didn't.
I'm not sure it was three because what Diggy was like, oh no, that's like two or three or out of five. I don't know how much that is.
It could have been maybe these were these 2 kilo bricks. I don't know, but I was like one brick, two brick, three brick. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Again, I'm also but we don't have to go. But and just seemed was interesting. But again, it was the inciting incident, and now hijinks ensue. How do we sell these drugs? We're not drug dealers. What do we do? So they figure out like Bitcoin would be the way to go, the black web, like dark web, black market, figuring all this stuff out. This is where the workaholic comes in because he's a great hacker who they met at Bandcamp, because Bandcamp was meant to bring kids from disparate backgrounds together to learn and grow, whatever. The kid's an idiot.
Thought marching band camp. This is like rock band camp.
I thought it was marching. No, they were in the marching band. I think it was
band camp. Yeah.
They had been in marching band.
I saw a lot of guitars there.
But the flute in places, it's a place. It's a place.
I think it was regular, like school band.
It was camp. A normal band camp. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That weird. Yeah. In the woods, I'm going to put flutes. Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, that could happen, but I'm not saying
it could happen there. Well, they talk about it. They're like, yeah, you can put whatever in their butt. Like, that was a whole conversation that they had.
That went on for a little too long, a little too much detail, but
it did. Yeah. They needed to be like on acid for that conversation to make more sense to me. Cause, like,
hey, man,
you get 10 seconds into that, like, no, I'm out, man.
Let me tell you something about the butt. Let me tell you something about the butt, man. I'm like, why are you? You talk a lot about
for the listener at home. The workaholic is regaling the students of color with what white girls will let them, what you do. You can put it anywhere as long as there's not their vagina because they have to stay virgin. So
and then
it's in mouths and it's in butts.
His self reflection, where he's like, I've never had sex with a vagina before, only in the butt. So the question is not, am I still a virgin? Am I gay? Like, oh, okay.
No, he got there. He got there, and I said, you know what? That might be a.
It's worth exploring.
It's interesting. But he, while an idiot and a person who's into drugs, he is very good at hacking, doing things with computers because he winds up going. They bleep it in the beginning, but then I think they wind up saying it later. But USC. I think he goes to 100%. USC where his dad went. Yeah. And he needs to maintain a certain grade point average in order to stay. So he doesn't earn that grade point average. What he does is go into the computer servers or whatever and just wipe all of the freshmen's grades. So this is the guy they need to figure out how to sell drugs.
Oh, yeah.
At least set up the marketplace for Bitcoin. I don't think he has the best idea for selling drugs, but he helps them like make things untraceable.
And they establish that he's not reliable because he's hopped up on goofball the whole time. So it's like,
hopped up on goofballs is correct. Yeah. No, they just said, so long, we know all these places on the dark web. So long as you get a Tor browser, we can look, we can set up our own marketplace. And
this was also a hand wavy.
And best part, we'll do it, you know, where no one will find us in like a warehouse somewhere. No, that's not what they do at
school
all.
Computer lab.
You know, well, they run their whole operation out of their high school. But yeah,
that part
with the janitor walking in and out of the classroom all the time.
That was pure unadulterated hubris. Like, we can get away with it. They'll never know. They'll just walk in. I'm like, that dude, you find all sorts of abandoned shitty places.
You can find the internet now and all the scales and measurements.
Anywhere near McDonald's. My thing is, like, maybe this is because it was 2015 and like the dark web wasn't really known broadly by the public. I don't think it's just as easy as like downloading Chrome and just hopping on the dark web. Like, you don't, you have to get like a different browser, but it's not just like, okay, we got it, we're in. Like, no, it seems like it's a lot more fucking work than that.
You can find some pretty fucked up shit if you just download Tor and then type in some shit if you feel like it.
Stay the fuck away from that.
Yeah, you really should not look. It's,
I'm not gonna do that.
I mean, not that I,
I've heard from other people who looked.
Reddit have told me. So I think that the one thing that I just also found was really interesting. So yeah, they're selling it on the internet. The way they like make it viral is they go perform at this frat party. And while they're at the frat party, I think they give people Molly, but they wind up acting like Lily, so they start calling it Lily. So they try to make a viral thing about people taking Lily.
My thought is here, pissing outside at this point.
Yeah, and my only thing here is though is like if everybody's going wild at a party that you played at where everybody was doing Lily, I think it might be easy to like trace it back.
you give it a different name.
Okay, so I found that a little bizarre, and then they're doing all their purchases over the internet. People have to send it. And then they, to actually get the drugs to people, are putting it in the fucking mail?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Fingerprints, all that stuff. I didn't see any gloves on anybody putting any fingers.
Yeah.
Jib talks about it. He's like, oh, my fingerprints off this brick of Molly now. Like, it's, they talk one about thing, that happening.
It's one thing if it's 1993, 94, where I doubt you could take those kind of fingerprints off of stuff. But man, it's... In 2015, all that stuff is fully readily available.
Yeah.
Is this what people do now? Is it possible to buy drugs in the mail like this?
I don't believe.
Have we reached this point?
Okay. Oh no, you can try. You can, and they'll see if it gets through UPS and FedEx. You can try.
Well, I'll tell you what. I lived with a girl for a little while when I was in my design program. Her boyfriend received his weed in the mail, and the way that he got it, I thought was pretty clever. Don't know if it would always work, but he got like an Easter basket in a box. And so in a lot of the eggs was weed, and other eggs there was like legit candy, and the whole thing was wrapped up in all that like fake grass. And so like I'm assuming that looks crazy on like an X-ray. You've got like some of this shit looks like, you know, actual candy and blah blah blah. But I'm like, oh, that's pretty fucking clever. Weird, you're getting an Easter basket in February, but like, okay, like sure.
Yeah, no, these were just little baggies.
Yeah, they're sending drugs in the mail.
There's no disguise.
Yeah, I've heard about people like hollowing out like a thing of peanut butter and like shoving shit.
That happened
in
at my bachelor party, bub. You were there for that. My brother's friend, who will not be named.
That's where that memory came.
He did it while he was talking to us as though it was the most normal shit. Like he just scooped out an entire fucking jar of peanut butter mid conversation. I think he just like scooped it onto the counter and just like put his drugs in it and then scooped it back in.
You guys want to put that on your toast? You can do that. I'm not going to do anything with this. Let me shove that in there and then.
So it wasn't like you were there. And then he opened up the jar and like scooped in the peanut butter.
He's talking to us and he has this big jar of peanut butter and starts scooping out the peanut butter. I'm like, oh,
with like a serving spoon.
Yeah. And then he shoves his whatever he's purchasing in whatever city we were in, just threw it in there. And then just
back on top. And he's like, yeah, if it goes through the X-ray, they can't see through the peanut butter. He was flying home. He was like, yeah, just cool. Go through the airport with it. They're not gonna they can't see inside.
He was flying to a state where it's no bueno.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I remember that from. That was
wild. What
a weekend.
Any sort of disguising would have been great. They don't do any of it.
They just send drugs.
Here's three pills, whatever. But they wind up, I think it's a couple weeks, they say, that they go through and sell all the stuff. Which, I guess that's probably how long it would have taken Dom. So that's cool. Then they reach a point where like, okay, we now have all this Bitcoin, but we owe AJ money. Like, how are we going to actually get the money?
Jesus Christ.
You have to go to someone who will deal with Bitcoin and exchange it for you.
Yeah.
Which was interesting to see something that about fakes, wild. Blah, blah, blah. Punch me in the face. Okay, here's your money.
Yeah.
Okay, like dude.
Yeah.
Then they're on their way home. It's been a long day. We didn't talk about this earlier, but Lakeith Stanfield, it's like the tough of the high school. He's like,
yes,
the kid there, he's like, yeah, the tough bully, but he's at least still in high school, still going, still doing his stuff. And he has a habit of stealing people's shoes. When I remember when Bill and I watched this the first time, we thought this was fucking hilarious and still use this, but it was like, shoe check. Yeah, what size are you? Size 9, you have to come up out those shoes. And that's his like whole thing. So we do that sometimes. Shoes, homie. Yeah, if we're in the kitchen, you're like, what's she working on? Is that a peanut butter? You have to come up out that sandwich. And like...
That's really good.
I do like that.
It's very silly. We literally did it to each other the other day in the kitchen. So like he always is picking on them and stealing their stuff. Yeah. Well, on this day, Malcolm had to punch some random sweatshop worker owner in the fucking face to get a alligator bag stuffed with cash.
Oh, he starts
messing with them. Fake.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know,
that was pure Cayman skin. That's not alligator.
Yeah,
straight up Cayman, homie.
Tries to steal the shoes. Opens the bag, realizes there's a bunch of money in it, and it's like, oh, I have to keep this. At this moment, this is where Malcolm breaks bad. He is the one who knocks. He pulls out a gun, and he is just like, I have fucking had it.
Yeah.
Do you not know today, what I've done to get this fucking money, you piece of shit? Doesn't say this. This is
no,
what's in his
that's
handshaking, like
saying with a gun. Saying with a gun.
Yeah.
Jeez. He has had enough. He's like, I am way deep in this shit. Mm. You can't ruin this for me. I'm almost out of this drug dealing game. Lakeith politely hands the bag back and they all go home. And it's but then it continues. And this is the part we were talking about before the podcast begins, or began. So Malcolm goes and visits AJ with the potentially fake bag and takes out like $10,000 and is like, here's $10,000 in cash. You have 97,000 in Bitcoin in whatever.
Yeah.
And then this is the part that I don't get, because like at one point, Workaholic is like, this is what you have to do. He's super out of his mind. Like, this is what you have to do to not get caught trying to get your money out of Bitcoin and into real cash. Right. And they're like, do you want me to do it for you guys? And they're like, no, we'll handle it. And they handle it. And somehow they set it up where it looked, I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't totally so essentially what happened when we saw him coding as though this was MySpace circa 2005.
Yep.
He was putting in like the metadata, the information that you would need to track back to this particular guy. Cause like he put in there to transfer the Bitcoin into this guy's like personal checking account, not like some burner account with a fake name attached to. It's like, oh, this is your personal, I think it was like his business's checking account.
Yeah.
So it's like, not only will they know that it was you, but no one else really has access to like this part of your account.
There it is.
So you couldn't even say like, oh, someone stole my identity and got my personal. No, this is like your business's checking account that only you would have access to. And they also put in like his EIN number, like his federal, you know, business tax number and shit.
His
like
federal all that tax shit number. Yeah, that's yeah.
So it was very much done. Like, if you try to fuck me over, like, well, number one, anybody that investigates this will know right away that you did this kind of a thing. It was too sudden, I think. It was a little bit, it's like this whole movie, we see him just trying to like fucking survive. And then he's like, no, I'm a diabolical. Like, no, well.
It's a full heel turn. But I'm like, this, I didn't feel like we were getting. I mean, maybe after he had to pull the gun to be able to defend the money, he's like, you know what? Whatever I need to do to get what I want is.
That was Walter White watching Jesse's girlfriend die.
It seemed to work when I pointed that gun. So
yeah.
I'm just going to do it.
Well, speaking of girlfriend, so that's, we got to talk about Vince McMahon later on. Jesus Christ.
But that's a thought where, like, at first, if you could have seen that, like, once he had to go through that step, he is just like, I'm fucking out of this. I got to get out. And now I'm going to put those things back in to make Austin Jacoby get caught. Yeah. But there's parts where they use his, like, shipping information. And I'm like, so you've been using his stuff this whole entire fucking time? I think that's the part where I was, like, a little confused. And they show you that, like, Workaholic actually, like, we see him, like, earlier in the movie look like he's getting in the school servers, but then you find out he's actually in Austin Jacoby's servers grabbing information. I'm like, how do you convince did you convince Workaholic to do that? And like, how did he not know? You know, like, there's just I couldn't square the circle there.
I think he manipulated someone who was on drugs, like, no, just go in here and do that. It's gonna work, don't worry about it.
There was maybe a little bit of missing connective tissue here. You're right,
a little bit,
because he basically is just like, I better get into Harvard. To me, is what I took the threat was, I better get into Harvard, because if I don't, I'm gonna let everybody know that you, like, you sold this.
Yeah, it's like, you have the sway to get me in, and if I don't get in, then that's your ass.
Yeah. Because he's like, at one point he's like, I'll go to the cops. He's like, we're both from the bottoms. What's going to happen if you go to the cops? They're not going to believe you.
They're going to believe that this bag is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I'll just like kill you. And it's like, well, but you're a Harvard man. You know that that's not worth it. You're going to burn down your whole life. Like, the speech was good. It just,
it didn't match his character for the whole movie. He was not this guy ever before.
Which is fine. I think Dave has a point. Like, he pulled the gun and it's just like, I'm fucking over this. Yeah. I got to get out of the bottom.
I think that was the trigger.
That was the inciting incident. Yeah.
That makes sense. But
that's
then
a very late inciting incident. Very late.
It's very late.
That was like the last 20 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. It was wild.
Yeah. But I guess it's just all the other pieces that he basically put in place to link it to Austin. I was like, that doesn't track. But him switching at that, like, yeah, so whatever. It is what it is. It happens. I guess in the end, though, it's like, so you're just going to leave, like, $97,000 in Bitcoin? Like, wouldn't you want that money? Like, I would have figured out a way for my ass to get some of the money, at least.
I mean, there's a possibility that, like, they left him 97 and skimmed some off the top. I mean, maybe they sold it from, you know, maybe they had 120 in there and they had left.
Oh, no, I thought I thought a lot more cash was put into that bag than what he actually gave. So I think there's a couple stacks hanging out underneath the bed for.
I hope so. You know,
racks on racks.
For some fun in Cambridge once he gets there. So
yeah, I would hope so. But so he's not like fully relying on like scholarship money and stuff. So yeah, I hope he's squirreled some money away. The movie ends where he had like a thing from Harvard. We don't get to see what the letter says or anything, but he just has like a breaks the fourth wall.
We get to see it.
I didn't know.
Well, the fact that he looks at the camera and smirks.
And you saw the size of the envelope.
It's true. It was a box.
I'm just saying. It's,
we don't specifically see it. That's true.
But then he looks like dead eyed into the camera, and you're like, but then I'm like, oh, now does he have to go give Austin his money? Like, I didn't understand that part.
He basically like winks and gives a thumbs up at the end.
Yeah. And then. I'm hoping you guys stayed, and I hope anybody who watches this film after this discussion, you watch the end credits, because Shameik Moore just dances to the Humpty Dance for like half the song. And it's
fun. He does every 90s dance trend you can imagine. He starts off with the Humpty. He does the WAP in there. He does the Bernie. He does the Dougie, which is not a 90s thing. Well, no, it is true. It is. The Dougie Fresh was doing that back in the day.
Everybody loved him.
Yeah, the original Dougie. Yeah, that's about how it wraps up here. One thing we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character and seeing if this movie was the start of big things, the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dana, who are we going to dive on this week?
Okay, I just picked someone. I'm hoping this is the start for him because this movie was a little bit ago and there are some younger actors in it. Mm-hmm. So I picked... Quincy Brown, who plays Jaleel.
He's got charisma.
Yeah, because Jib we know, and I know Diggy's and other things.
Yeah.
So
ASAP Rocky's been in stuff.
Yeah. And Vince Staples was on
as soon Abbott as possible. Rocky, he's in all sorts of stuff.
So in 2012, he's in something called We the Party. He plays a character named Reggie. I guess that's a film potentially. And then in 2015 is his next movie, which is Dope. He plays Jaleel. 2015 also, he's in an episode of CSI, potentially with... No, that's not Ted Danson. He's in something called Brotherly Love in 2015, plays a character named Chris Collins. Street in 2015, Dante. 2015 was a big year for him.
It was busy.
Yeah, huge.
He was... In 2016, on three episodes of The Haves or Have Nots, I feel like it's a Tyler Perry joint.
That is a Tyler Perry joint.
Okay, that's what I thought. He's on...
Tyler Perry's Downton Abbey, pretty much.
Yeah. And something called The Holiday Calendar in 2018. I did watch the show that I didn't finish. It was with Queen Latifah called Star. He's on 48 episodes from 2016 to 2019, so that's kind of cool.
Okay. That's a good run.
Then a little bit of a dry spell.
No.
And then in 2021, he's in 11 episodes of Power 3, Raising Kanan, which I think Wendell Pierce is on that.
I'm glad I've never watched any of those shows.
Those Star shows, it's all from Power, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And there's like 8,000.
And there's Ghosts.
Ghosts and Book of Kanan. Yeah, Raising Kanan. Yeah, there's a lot of these.
What
I think I might have watched some Stars back in the day. Some Stars.
Someone's got to be getting super rich off it.
I hope so.
Sending out like Power 8.
It's 50, right? Isn't it 50 Cent?
Yeah, that's his company. Yeah.
He has
a lot of money. He makes really bad movies just because he has so much money.
Yes,
amazing.
That vitamin water, baby.
I was gonna say vitamin water set him up for life.
I'm glad it worked for him because those shows. I always thought of my because I watched some episodes of the first season of Power. I'm like. This is pretty good. I'm assuming the quality can have kept up. It's probably if you're going there.
I know. Wendell Pierce is on it now. That's pretty impressive.
It's what's keeping Stars alive.
It could be as good. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Last film that he was in 2015. It's an hour and 19 minutes long. It's called Binge to Death and stars Lonnie Love. So I don't think this guy has had much of a career. No offense to Lonnie Love.
He's been busy.
I love Lonnie. But
it sounds like he's more of a TV guy than a movie guy.
He's had 15 credits since 2004. A couple of them are music videos. So
Maybe it's part-time gig for him.
Yeah, you were fine in this, Quincy.
I liked him in this. Yeah.
Yeah, you were good.
You're doing good.
You're doing good.
You having fun out there, kid? You having
right.
fun?
Doing
oh
so.
My god. All right. Well,
hey,
that does
job,
bring
buddy.
Us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's 10 minutes and superlatives. Dom is most likely to be the father of Rihanna's children, because that's what he is. Jib is most likely to say, no, it's cool. If I say it, all my friends are black. Diggy is most likely to have an entire Janelle Monáe Pinterest board. We didn't talk about it, and I'm happy we didn't. And Malcolm is most likely to transfer to Howard after one semester. He is not going to like it in Harvard. That motherfucker is going to be miserable there with no 90s hip hop to talk. Who is he going to talk about hip hop with in Harvard?
Oh, there's going to be some white boys who fucking, yes. Yes, my brother, let's go. Yes, dropping ends. Dropping
yeah, of course.
With soft A.
Probably the hard R. It's
soft
Boston.
A N word.
It's because we're friends. My intent. Yeah.
That conversation that Blake had with him. And then later, the conversation he
just
had with that white
smacked.
Dude at the party, no. where the white guy's like, yes, it is okay if you say it. I'm like, no.
No, it was a perfect conversation. Like, no, you're going to keep getting smacked. You're going to keep getting smacked, smacked.
What if it's in the
stop.
Song? What are we supposed
stop.
To? You don't
stop.
Say it.
Stop.
Don't say it.
Stop. Yeah, stop.
Just censor yourself. Just don't say anything in that one part. It's not that
really
hard.
Everybody on mute for that one word.
Don't fucking say
unless
it.
You got melanin.
Jesus Christ. Not that fucking difficult. Yeah. Get it together. This next movie is Dave's pick. Dave, what are we going to watch next?
It's gonna be a classic.
Oh yeah!
Just thinking about my city. I love Chicago.
Oh, I know where this is going.
I know where this is
I,
going.
I hope you do too, because I don't know how we skipped this one for so long. We've done so many other John Hughes movies. 1986, Matthew Broderick, Alan Ruck, Mia Sara, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Let's see what I'm.
Bow.
Dude.
I mean, darling, you know, I checked last night.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
This is our 187th episode, and
oh, perfect.
We're finally getting to Ferris Bueller. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Bow.
All right, guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recap and Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recap and Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Diggy, I gotta slap the shit out of you based on principle. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.